Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday. Two for Tuesday. Get your requested now. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And phone lines are open. Text lines are open. If you watched the Emmys last night and you have some thoughts on the telecast itself, the show, all that other stuff that we always talk about, love to talk about during awards season, or award shows at least, and then the winners and the losers and all that cool stuff. Dan Feinberg joins us every couple of weeks to talk TV, and he is a TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N, The Fine Print. And he is gracious enough to have agreed to join us this morning to talk about last night's Emmy Awards. And we welcome Dan back to the show. Dan, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. So I read your review of the show and your review of the musical number and monologue that opened it. And I have to say that I am almost 100% in agreement with you.
Where are our points of differentiation? I look forward to hearing them.
Here's the only thing. It's like I am always happy to see anybody who's ever been on Saturday Night Live. Now, I agree with your assessment that this was, I mean, it was so obvious that Lorne Michaels produced this show and had a showcase for his show and his friends and the people who have been on the show. So I agree with that. I thought that was like, okay, he did turn it into just like a party for him and his friends. But I like him and his friends. So that was the only difference. He didn't give him a lot to do, though. I agree. I agree with your assessment on that. Now tell everybody how you felt about the opening "We Solved It" musical number, followed by Jost and Che.
Well, there was nowhere for Colin Jost and Michael Che to even go after that musical number. Like, basically, they got entirely upstaged and pushed to the back on their own telecast, which already seems like pretty horrible production to me, unless you're simply accepting, and you have to be doing this weeks in advance because musical numbers don't just come together like magic, but unless you're simply saying, we hired two people to host this show who we know cannot sustain this show. And right. That, to me, was what this felt like, is you open the show with Kenan Thompson and Kate McKinnon, and 100% of the audience is going to sit there and they're going to immediately go, wait, if those two were available, why are we getting Jost and Che?
Yep.
And which is just unfair. It's not a kind thing to do to people who you're going to be trotting out on the stage multiple times after that. But yeah, so it wasn't like I thought the musical number was great. It was just that the musical number was alive and occasionally amusing and featured people with talent and comfort on the stage. And then Che and Jost come out there and it's very clear that they're not comfortable relating to each other, standing next to each other in tuxedos, and the material they were given was really subpar.
Yep.
And it wasn't even like it was subpar Weekend Update style material. It was just bland, hacky comedy. Why did they not attempt to make it Weekend Update style? That at least works for them somewhat. I did not understand the ways that they were attempting to use what is a very talented Saturday Night Live cast.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The opening, the monologue was pretty toothless, and it wasn't very funny. I laughed at a couple of things, and I also agree with your assessment that that Che came off much better than Jost, much better. Jost just seemed completely lost throughout the entire broadcast. At least Che brought some snarkiness to it, and he got a few laughs, that I thought worked out pretty well. I like the Jeff Daniels thanked his horse bit. I thought that was a pretty funny comment. But they were not good, and the material was also not good. So,
and that's one of those things with the thanking of the horse. You know, a good award show host, and the example that one would always give now and forever is Billy Crystal in the Jack Palance year of the Oscars, is a good award show host. If a moment is offered that they can run with for the rest of the show, they can find a way to run with it. And there were a few moments that a quicker group of hosts could have found a way to work with, and that includes the Glenn Wise proposal,
right,
which they came out and awkwardly kind of stumbled around and couldn't do anything with. Che did get the good line about Jeff Daniels' horse, but otherwise, just no one was, there was no build to the show. There was no interplay. Like that Maya Rudolph, Fred Armisen thing, I kept waiting, like, is that going to finally have a payoff of some sort? And it didn't even come close to having a payoff.
And no, and here's the thing. Those are two of my favorite people ever, and they're great together. And the you know, the recurring bit that they did just did not work at all. I didn't laugh once at that. And that, and it's shocking because I love Maya Rudolph and Fred Armisen, and I think Jost and Che obviously work well with those guys. And it just was, I mean, the material was subpar, just not funny.
And it has to be a bit of a nightmare for Amazon, honestly, because Amazon has the two of them on a show currently, Forever, which is a good show and that needs people to discover it, and that was programmed to premiere last week in a really tough place for it to premiere, opposite entirely too many other new shows. And all they could possibly have wanted at Amazon was put these two people who we have on a show together, put them together and let them be funny, and everyone will be like, ooh, where can I see those two funny people be funny together again? And instead not.
No, terrible. It was not funny at all. In the monologue, I did laugh at the white reboot of Atlanta. I thought that was funny. And so that was one of the only jokes that I actually laughed out loud at during the monologue. So,
and that was already towards the end of the monologue, and so I was already, my brow was furrowed by that point. There was no unfurrowing of my brow. All I could do was go, okay, that's at least a decently written piece of comedy, but I could not get as far as laughing at
right.
it. I think I only recovered my ability to laugh however minutes later when Sandra Oh came out with Andy Samberg. That got me laughing briefly again.
That was funny. That was a funny bit. That was a funny bit. The La La Land joke was funny, and that, you know, that the La La Land joke is going to be a part, I think, of every award ceremony now forever. there's going to be a La La Land joke in every award ceremony, I think. So,
and I thought this was a good incarnation of that joke, largely because Sandra Oh sold the heck out of it, and so I appreciated that.
Yeah. Okay, and again, there were questions about the broadcast. I want to talk about the broadcast, then we're going to get to the winners and stuff. You talk about Will Ferrell just doing a bit where he just walks really slowly and he's out of breath. I didn't understand that, and it was Will Ferrell, again, another ex-Saturday Night Live cast member. And I mean, just, you know, as you pointed out in your piece, just like it was so Saturday Night Live heavy, that it was just, if you didn't know that Lorne Michaels produced it or executive produced it or oversaw the production, you would think, well, somebody really likes SNL.
But I don't get why you can't find a way, like if it's just going to be SNL, that's fine. But why not make the last two words two classic people? Why not see if you can get Aykroyd to come out, see if you can get Bill Murray to show up, whatever. For heaven's sakes, why not see if you can get Julie Louis-Dreyfus out on that stage to get a standing ovation, which would have been an utter guarantee. I assume that in certain of these cases, the asks were made and people declined, and as is their right. It just is so strange when you know that on these shows they're arced so that you get these big people coming out. Like last year, drama series was presented by Oprah.
Right.
This year it was presented by Kenan Thompson.
Right.
And I love Kenan Thompson. He's great. He just can't be your anchor presenter for the night.
I just can't. I agree with you 100%. Dan, you know how I feel about Kenan. I love him. I think he's great. But when I heard the announcement teasing and coming up, Kenan Thompson will announce the winner in the drama series, I went, what? What? Kenan Thompson is going to be, he's going to come out and I love him. I love the guy. But yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that one. It was just weird. It was very strange. Let me ask you about this. It's always a delight, Dan, to see Betty White. Okay? Always. There's no question about it. And it was a delight to see her on the show last night because she's amazing. She's 96. She's a legend and she's awesome. But what was she receiving an award? I kind of sat on the couch going, I'm really confused as to what's going on. Is she getting like a lifetime achievement thing? Or they just said, here's Betty White and she's going to talk for a couple of minutes.
It appeared to be literally that one. And and I assume that they ran other alternatives for what she could do by her. I assume they asked if she wanted to present something, if she wanted to do any number of things. And she must have said that she didn't, but she must have said that she would be happy to be there. And so that's what it ended up being.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm happy she can do that. We had it at TCA Press Tour this summer. PBS had this First Lady of Television special, Betty White special, that right. aired last month at some point.
Right.
And we had a panel for it. And I think we all expected that Betty White was going to be there, and instead she was not. And that got everyone very concerned, as it would, because, you know, Betty White has had the reputation for 90-plus years of someone who's willing to show up and who's willing to be there. And so I think we definitely had concerns. And, you know, she did look old and you know, not exactly as spry as maybe we remembered her, but also still pretty remarkable. And I came away appreciating the remarkableness at least as much.
Yeah. Okay, Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us. If you want to jump in, if you saw the Emmy broadcast, what did you think of it? And we're going to get to the winners also as well. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios Tuesday. Get your request in now for 2 for Tuesday, 312-981-7200. We're talking Emmys. We're going to talk about Emmy snubs from the past. That's all coming up. And then we're going to do some general TV talk right here celebrating last night's Emmy Awards. And joining us is Dan Feinberg, TV critic for The Hollywood Reporter. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N. He joins us every couple of weeks to talk TV in general. But he's on with us this morning to talk about last night's Emmy Awards. And let's welcome Dan back. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you, Nick.
All right. So a couple of other things about the broadcast, then we'll get to the winners and your thoughts on that. Hannah Gadsby, for me, best presenter of the night, without question.
And I like the number of people who obviously had no clue whatsoever who she is or was, because, you know, she's a fairly underknown stand-up comic, you know, who made a big break this summer with one Netflix special, Nanette, which everyone should watch.
Yes.
And obviously 90% of the Emmys audience had no clue who she was, which made it all the funnier that she came out there and did her thing. And I would gladly have had her introing the show and basically being host as opposed to Jost and Che.
Yeah. And I also love the fact that she handed out the award for directing and drama and Stephen Daldry wasn't there. I don't know, for some reason that was seemed really apropos.
because she also played it off wonderfully.
Yeah,
it fit in with everything she'd been talking about leading up to it. So she was great because, unlike the host, she was perfectly prepared to wing it as required.
Yeah.
And again, I wish that she'd been doing more of the show.
And again, as Dan just said, if you've not seen her Netflix special, Nanette, you should, because it is amazing. It is absolutely amazing. Okay, the other thing is, did you spot Teddy Perkins, Dan?
I did, and I'm still waiting for the internet to properly tell me who exactly was underneath the guise of Teddy Perkins, since clearly it was not, in fact, Donald Glover who was right there.
Right.
So who was it?
And now,
internet?
The internet is leaning towards Lakeith Stanfield.
Okay.
And because they're now doing, there are analyses of this because, now first of all, it is so clear that the cameraman and the producers and the director of the broadcast had no idea who this guy was, because they didn't show him. There were like two brief shots of Teddy Perkins, and I thought it was Donald Glover. I was like, oh my God, Donald Glover is dressed up like Teddy Perkins. And then when Hader won for his award, he went over and hugged him.
Yes.
But then everybody, all the people who were trying to figure out who it was, said, okay, look at the height. He's much taller than Donald Glover. He's taller than Bill Hader and blah, blah, blah. Lakeith was on the red carpet, but we didn't see him inside the auditorium. So a lot of people are leaning towards him.
I can buy that. Whoever it was, they had a different facial structure and physicality from Donald Glover. It was in no way convincing as actually Donald Glover as Teddy Perkins, but it was still a wonderfully trippy thing to have him present and there. And so I'm happy they decided to do that. And I wish, we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, I wish the show could have won something.
Oh, man. I mean, the fact that it got shut out is crazy. All right. So let's go through some of the moments. I mean, obviously, the big moment was, I'm blanking on the director's name who directed the Oscars.
Glenn Wise.
He got up there, for people who don't know, he got up there on live TV. He made a really lovely speech, mentioned that his mother passed away a couple of weeks ago, and then actually proposed to his girlfriend live in front of the Emmy audience. And it turned out to be a pretty amazing moment. I just kept thinking to myself, how would he feel as a director of a live award show if someone pulled that kind of stunt while he was trying to keep the show on time? That was the first thing that popped into my head, in my cynical head. I was like, oh, man. This is going to throw off everything, you know, because this is going to take much longer than you would expect. So,
absolutely, though, there were a lot of things in this telecast where I still don't understand what they thought was supposed to fill the time. But anyway, yes, it was fantastic, and yes, it could have gone bad, but I guess he knew it wasn't going to go bad. The thing I like about it most is that the director of a variety special award is, if you were to go through the Emmys that they give out in the main telecast and get rid of one or two or five, that would be one of the first ones you'd get rid of, without any question. Right. It would be one that would be moved out of the main show, and yet here it was giving us our best moment of the night, which is why you want those awards.
Yeah.
That's, in the telecast.
I agree. I totally agree. It turned out to be a really, really great moment. My question, of course, then again, was what if he didn't win? What was the plan? To go out to dinner and then ask her there? I mean,
I assume this is Los Angeles, so I assume probably they were going to go to In-N-Out after the show anyway, or they were going to go to whatever party they were going to go to, and he would have found a moment at the Netflix party or at the HBO party or in the drive-thru at In-N-Out, and it would have been perfectly romantic.
Right.
It worked out better this way.
Yes, it certainly did. And I will say this, Jost had a pretty funny comeback, though. Like a little bit later on, he did say that there were four other guys with engagement rings in their pockets who are very disappointed right now, which I thought was actually kind of a funny joke about them.
But not nearly as good as Matthew Reese's comments about Kerry Russell.
Yeah.
And if he were to do something similar in his situation.
Right, So anyway, it was a unique moment. It really was. And that's one of the great things about live TV. That's why I love watching some award shows where something like this happens. And it was a pretty great moment. So, and he clearly went over like gangbusters in the crowd. It's Leslie Jones, man. That was pretty hilarious. Her reaction to it was pretty funny. So
look at you. You love Leslie Jones now. I hear the affection in your voice.
Yeah.
It's all changing.
I wouldn't go that far, Dan, but, all right, well, let's talk about the winners. The big winner in the dramas series was Game of Thrones, which is just, whatever, in my opinion.
It's just a disappointment. If it had been clear that that's what the arc of the evening was, I guess I could have gotten behind it if it had won for directing and Ben Dinklage, Dinklage won. And so then it would have been like, okay, well, I guess this just could be another Game of Thrones night. But instead they teased us by having both The Crown and The Americans win more awards going up to the final awards. So
right.
This is going to be an insane upset for The Americans, which would have been ridiculous given how few nominations it had. But it would have been exciting, and even The Crown would have been exciting. But Game of Thrones was not an exciting winner, and you could tell in the room that it was not exciting people, that it was just like, okay, well, that's how the show ends.
Yep, that's it. And then we mentioned lead actor in a drama series, Matthew Rhys for The Americans, and that was deserved.
It was very deserved, and I was very happy. I'd already been happy when the two creators won for writing. That was enough. Maybe not enough, but I was prepared to feel as if that was a representative win for the show, and that at least it got that moment in the main telecast where people realized, okay, this is a great show.
Yeah.
But Matthew Rhys winning, that then gave me, of course, the feeling that maybe Carrie could win, and then maybe it could win for series, and that it was going to become a mini juggernaut, and so I got too optimistic.
I did too for Carrie Russell. When the next category, I was like, oh man, she's got to win, because there's some momentum going, and then of course, look, Claire Foy is great on The Crown, and again, we talked about how strong a category that this is, but Claire Foy winning, she was lovely as always.
Exactly. And yeah, when we talked last week, what I said was that other than Evan Rachel Wood, who's a supporting actress and doesn't belong in the category, there was no one who could have won that category who I would have felt was an interloper, I would have felt was a clear violation of the spirit and execution of the category. No, Claire Foy is utterly deserving of having an Emmy on her shelf for that role.
Absolutely.
By all means.
Peter Dinklage, as we mentioned, he won for Game of Thrones for supporting actor. Supporting actress in a drama series is Tandy Newton, who is the lead, as we've talked about before on that show.
But there were a lot of people who I would have preferred to see win in that category, and they clearly really thought that it was going to be one of the three actresses from Handmaid's Tale, because they brought out Samira Wiley and Elizabeth Moss.
Yep.
So clearly they were supposed to be up there so that they could give the award to Ann Dowd, Alexis Bledel, or Yvonne Strahovski, and instead it did not go that way. I hate it when best laid plans go astray.
Exactly. In the comedy category, man oh man, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, man oh man. Was that a juggernaut? And I texted while I was watching it, I posted on Facebook while I was watching it. Amy Sherman-Palladino is finally getting the love that she deserved for Gilmore Girls for years. Is what I'm saying.
And it's true. And what you going to say about Amy Sherman-Palladino becoming the first person ever to win writing and directing Emmys in the same year? That's outstanding. She is so clearly such a talented person and so worthy of it, and yet, boy, oh boy, would I have given that directing award to Hiro Murai for the Teddy Perkins episode
without question. And the fact that Atlanta basically got shut out makes me sad, because that's my favorite show on TV presently. Rachel,
the problem just comes when it doesn't feel like it needs to be a juggernaut, when it really could be one of those, let's make sure that things get representative awards here and there. Let's make sure everybody gets a little something.
Right.
And I feel like this does happen somewhat frequently. I think a couple of years ago there was the American Crime Story, OJ, and then the second season of Fargo. And all I wanted was for Fargo to get an award, to get something. And then it turned out that OJ was going to be the juggernaut.
Right.
So, a little sad.
Yeah. Okay, Dan, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Dan Feinberg is with us, and we're talking Emmys. And if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200. Did you watch the show? Did you like the winners? What did you think of the broadcast as well? And we'll come back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here on WGN. Two for Tuesday coming up. Get your requests in now. Play them later. One artist, two songs. 312-981-7200. That's also the number to call or text. We're talking Emmys right now. And Steve Grzanich will be here at 5 for the opening bell, and Steve Cochran at 6. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Dan Feinberg is with us. He joins us every couple of weeks to talk TV. You can follow him at The Fine Print, F-I-E-N, on Twitter and Facebook. And he's making a special appearance this morning to talk about the Emmys from last night. Welcome back, Dan.
Thank you, Nick.
So we're going through some of the comedy. Rachel Brosnahan won, and clearly Angela Bassett had no idea what her last name was.
Yeah, that was extreme. And then there was the other one with Mara Weaver. Whoever gave Mara Weaver her award had no idea how to pronounce her name.
Right.
If you're presenting an award, that means you should probably learn how to pronounce 6 to 7 names.
Well,
it's limited responsibility.
It is. But maybe it was cold because they didn't have to, because the presenters didn't have to read the names of the nominees. So maybe they just didn't even tell them, because in a kind of an unusual way, there was a voiceover and clips were shown, and then when the presenters came out, they didn't read the nominations. They just did a little stupid banter and then opened the envelope.
Huh, what did you think of that as a alternative to the formula? I knew it didn't work. I had a hard time articulating exactly why it didn't work.
It didn't quite work, but I thought it was kind of an interesting thing to do. You know, I thought it kind of mix things up a little bit, and but I really do think that the mispronunciation of names probably came from that, because they probably didn't give them a heads up. They were like, "Yeah, you're not going to have to pronounce any of these names." So I don't know.
It's as reasonable an explanation as anything. It's not like we're talking about ridiculously complicated names.
Right.
They should still be both accessible.
I agree. And then lead actor and supporting actor in a comedy series deservedly went to I think Louis Anderson, you know, obviously. Well, actually, again, we've gone through this a million times, anybody but Alec Baldwin. but I loved seeing Henry win. Clearly that was a wonderful moment in the show, and it was the first award, and I mean, you know, it brought the crowd to their feet. He's Henry Winkler.
He is, and he earned it on any level one could possibly want him to have earned it. I mean, he's great on Barry. He earned it. He earned it on the field in that respect.
But yeah.
If he hadn't, he earned it for his career body of work. He earned it for everybody by being entirely of the opinion that he's one of the nicest people in the business, et cetera, et cetera. Whatever your standard is, Henry Winkler deserved that moment and that standing ovation, and I was glad he got it.
It was nice. And then Hader was great too when he got up there. So genuine and so funny. I love Bill Hader, and I'm glad I was glad to see that he won. And then Alex Borstein won for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. That was her second Emmy for this year.
She's definitely having a moment, and again, another great performance, and combined with being an industry veteran who has put in her time. You know, she goes back to the Mad TV days. There she was with Will Sasso sitting next to her.
Yep.
You know, good for her. And she had the very funny moment with the silk top of her blouse and all of that. So
it was very funny. Limited series went to The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Lead actress, well, this was a big a shocker. Regina King for 7 Seconds. How did you feel about that?
Surprised.
Yeah.
Unquestionably surprised. There is no question that there is a great well of love for Regina King, and for very logical reasons, but this is her third Emmy, I think, in 5 years or something.
Yeah,
she won two for American Crime. And, you know, my biggest reservation about it, or my two biggest reservations, is that 7 Seconds was not very good. She was great in it. Regina King is never bad in anything. She's good when she pops up on Big Bang Theory, for heaven's sakes. But also that 7 Seconds was a drama series that Netflix just decided not to renew, and thus it magically became a miniseries, limited series, and that kind of thing always gets on my nerves. It's not as if she's the first person to have that happen. It happens with some regularity these days that people are nominated for things that change categories because they get canceled or whatever. But I was surprised. But it's very clear that there is a lot of affection for her in the Academy, and who can blame them, though she could also have been nominated / won for the second season of The Leftovers, and somehow the Emmy voters missed that entirely.
Right.
So
right.
What's up with that, guys?
Lead actor in a limited series went to Darren Criss. Supporting actress in a limited series, as you mentioned, went to Merritt Weaver. And Jeff Daniels won for supporting actor for Godless, and gave one of my favorite speeches of the evening. Without question, I loved it. I just thought it was a great speech.
It was a strange speech that was effective and funny.
Yes. Reality competition series went to RuPaul's Drag Race, which got such a massive ovation because people love that show.
People love that show, and also it so clearly should have won last year, and everybody knew it should have won last year, and the fact that it didn't win last year was already such a totally pointless black eye for the TV Academy that they just went on default for one extra year in that category. I think there was a large contingent of people who were going to riot if anything else had happened in that category.
I agree. And then the last two was Variety Sketch Series, of course, went to SNL, and Variety Talk Series, of course, went to John Oliver's Last Week Tonight. So overall, not a great broadcast at all. I think the experiment of Che and Jost was a failure, and I think that the writers didn't step up. It clocked in at, 3 hours. It ended on time, I will say that, and there were some memorable moments in it. So overall, I don't think I wasted my night.
I'm just so baffled by how a show can actually come in early or on time. But I still say basically early because it was only 5 minutes earlier that Will Ferrell had been limping his way to the microphone.
Right.
Spinning around in circles, killing 3 minutes. So I just don't know where the time should have been reallotted. But if you look at all of the ways that telecast was wasting time, some of it had to go somewhere else. And I'm just not sure where it should have gone instead. The 7 minutes that went to Fred Armisen and Maya Rudolph,
yeah.
Surely there was another use for that time.
Yeah.
And definitely there were people who got up to the mic, saw the clock and said, 47 seconds or whatever. But I don't think there was anyone who got aggressively played
off all night.
So where, what should there have been in this telecast as opposed to the not particularly good bits that there were that would have made it a more substantive show?
Excellent.
And that's what I would be wondering.
That's the eternal mystery, I think, Dan. So, hey, thank you for joining us on this special night, and we'll talk to you in a couple of Thursdays.
Sounds good, Nick.
Okay, Dan, thank you. Dan Feinberg, everybody, from The Hollywood Reporter. We're going to continue to talk about the Emmys. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. News is coming up.